financial reform could be affected by this election.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Political and financial eyes were focused last night on Arkansas and its Democratic Senate primary. The incumbent Blanche Lincoln won the nail-biter. She's the author of tough derivatives legislation that passed the Senate. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
Derivatives are complex securities that get some of the blame for the financial crisis. Lincoln inserted a provision into the Senate Financial Reform Bill that requires banks to spin off their derivatives trading desks. Banking analyst Chris Marinac of FIG Partners says for the big banks, those operations are worth billions.
If you are a large bank, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, B of A, etc., you are looking at the derivatives business as certainly one of your big mainstays.
Lincoln ran as an anti-Wall Street crusader, and her derivatives trading ban was Exhibit A. The provision is not in the House financial reform bill, but Lincoln is on the conference committee now negotiating a final bill, and Marinac thinks the ban will survive.
I'd be surprised if it was removed completely. On this particular issue, there's probably going to be some meeting in the middle.
One person Lincoln needs to convince is House Financial Services Chair Barney Frank. The powerful Democrat is not a fan. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are up in Europe right now by 0.5% or more. Asian shares were mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, markets rebounded a bit with the Dow adding 123 points to close at 99.39. The S&P also gained more than 1% in trading. NASDAQ pretty much flat. There's yet another major strike at an auto parts factory in China today. Last week, workers at the KOK plant, just west of Shanghai, which makes rubber gaskets and seals for car makers, well, they began a sit-in. That continued for a few days. Then Monday, there was some violence. Marketplace's Asia correspondent Scott Tong was one of the first journalists on the scene at that plant. He's been talking to workers about what's going on, and he's with us now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
What's happening at this factory, and what have you seen and heard?
Well, it's evening here in China, and we just talked to a bunch of workers who got off shift, and they are unhappy about their working conditions. The line workers get 19 minutes to eat their lunch. They often work 12-hour days, and in certain parts of the factory, it's more than 100 degrees hot. They are also angry. They're mad about Monday. Hundreds took to the streets. The police were called in. Several workers said they were detained, and several others were beaten inside the factory. I should tell you that the company has declined to talk to us, and the local government says this strike is done, and it's back to work.
Now, Scott, in the past week or so, we've been reporting on a series of strikes throughout China. Is this part of a broader movement?
Well, labor activists say we have had increasing frequency of strikes in the last couple of weeks, and we've had increased publicity. So the question is, going forward, do we have a trend of this worker unrest yet? It's a little too early to call it a trend just yet, at least according to the folks we've talked to, Steve.
And what role, Scott, do these workers play on the international stage? I mean, fit this strike and what's going on at this moment into the global and the U.S. economy.
Well, if you are a global automaker, you need every single part to make a car.
Yeah.
And so if you have a lot of these strikes, you have the potential of interruption. So that's point one. The other one is the young workers are getting harder to find in China. It's a demography thing, and they can negotiate better compensation. And so we're starting to see economists who say, you know what, the China price is going to start to go up.
Marketplace's Asia correspondent Scott Tong. Scott, thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
Now, Scott took some pictures of scenes around the plant, including workers who were beaten. They're at marketplace.org.
Marketplace is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
Fewer than 1 in 10 Haitians had ever used a commercial bank before January's catastrophic earthquake. It wiped out a third, more than a third, of the country's ATMs. So how then do you deliver cash in a country so devastated? Well, some people think the mobile phone is the answer. Today, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the United States Agency for International Development will announce a $10 million fund to encourage mobile phone payments in Haiti. Bob Christen oversees finance and banking projects for the Gates Foundation. He's with us live this morning from Seattle. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
How can mobile phones help in this situation?
Well, what happens is you connect a series of little mom-and-pop stores or post offices or lottery outlets by mobile phone into a network that allows you to send money back and forth from one place to another.
Now, Haiti was technologically deprived before the earthquake. How can you possibly encourage such development right now?
Well, the mobile phone companies got up and running pretty quickly after the earthquake. The real science to this is to actually develop the agent networks, which is to get all the mom-and-pop stores or post offices or these retail outlets of any sort that are in the communities where people live and work all tied together and communicated. That's the real challenge. The technology is actually not so difficult.
In some poor countries, they've just skipped landline phones. I mean, they rely on mobile phones as the primary phone network. Could this happen in banking in places such as Haiti?
Yeah, we think so. There are so many countries in the world that really don't have very much banking infrastructure, particularly in the communities where most people live and work. We actually think that what's going to happen is you're much more likely to get in places like Congo and southern Sudan, so many countries in the world, this kind of banking outside of bank branches well before you're going to get the building out of what we would consider to be traditional bank branches.
Bob Christen from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with us from Seattle. Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And finally, a new study says there is a battle of the sexes, all right. It's a battle of sickness. Research collected for British financial firm Engage Mutual surveyed 3,000 people in the UK. It says men are more likely to embellish symptoms of what they have. A cold half the time becomes the flu. A headache has a good chance of upgrading to a migraine. Ladies, however, are not immune to using the sick card either. Women are more likely to go into detail about daily symptoms and stay home from work more often when they're sick. Check us out online at marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts with us at our website. Plus, you can follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.